You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping in. Thanks for listening. It gets disheartening sometimes to put some things out that are dark in the darkness. So I'm going to do dark and light. I'm going to give you some good and some bad with both of this. A little bit from Amy No, a little bit from this pastor online that I enjoy listening to. So hopefully you enjoy this one too. So this is some intel to what's going on in the world as November hits and the tyranny. And it's hard. I'm in Portland and I'm outside of Portland, but it's so hard to see people complying and just putting things in their body that are, I know, going to cause harm. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see people with masks on. It breaks my heart to see the homeless and the rundown of this city that I'm, if you drive through Portland, it breaks my heart that we are so far from God. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how do we have joy? And how do we enter into a holiday season when we see such chaos in the world? So let's listen to these, and hopefully this is encouraging to you.
Right, meetings in the I believe San Diego.
Is it possible to buy a doctor? Is it possible to buy a panel of doctors? Well, is it possible to buy a politician? Is it possible to buy a panel of politicians?
Like George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. And you guys are in a big club with your support of the World Economic Forum.
The people have lost their faith in your abilities to manage this county, especially you, Nathan. We are building a community outside of this county administration center that will show you guys up 10 to 1 every time. We're returning power back to the people. The house of cards that you guys have built is crumbling.
People are more afraid of your policies than this virus. We have two options at this point, and it's to put you in your place or to put you out of your positions. You're not leaders, you're not heroes, and you're not the ones in control.
See, the very same people that you guys think you're representing are the community that's coming together to remove you.
Forget the money. Forget the money. We don't need the money. We need liberty and we need health. And we're not getting it. We're not getting it with the way you're managing this board.
We the people are prepared to fight this war against our freedoms, doing whatever it takes, as long as it takes, to the very last day you are ran out of your high horse seats of tyranny. We are not your subjects, we are not your lab rats, and we will not be pawns that you can control at your own will.
My name is Scott Youngblood. I'm a physician, and I'm here to defend science and patient autonomy. Next slide. There were about 158 deaths on average per year associated with all vaccines. And then something happens in January of 2021. We now have over 17,000 deaths reported just for the COVID vaccines. I would submit to you that as an early warning system, VAERS is working exactly as intended. We are just not listening to it.
The moment that you reach across that boundary and tell another individual what they can do with their body, you've crossed a line. You've now crossed God's line. So now you're stepping into the realm of evil.
Your medical mandates have no place in a free society. And in 2022, we're taking back our county and our state. Let's go, Brandon.
Yep, pretty good. Good compilation. Well put by...
Okay, so now I thought that was so good. Now let's get some more encouragement from a sermon, Jamie Walden's sermon. It was sent to me an email. I really like his stuff. You can get his stuff sent to you too. Jamie Walden, you can find him on YouTube.
Return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. You're working out your salvation. You're caring for your soul because he's the overseer of your soul. He alone is the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep your soul from stumbling, and to present you, that is your very soul, right? The flesh passes away, the soul is eternal, to present your soul and all that you are before his glorious presence without fault and circle it with great joy. He alone, right? However,
This obligatory radical nature, the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb, and love of the Father towards you while you were still far from him, a rebel dead in your sins, commands our faculties and our heart overflowing with worship to work it out. And that's the one thing we're not doing. We work out everything else but the radical nature of our salvation. We have to give all diligence to the means with which we conduce our salvation. We must not only work out our salvation by doing something now and then about it, but we must work out our salvation by doing all that can be done and persevering in it, ladies and gents. James 1. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And you must let perseverance finish its work so that, circle it, you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking what? Anybody? Let me see some lips. Lacking nothing. Yeah, I'm working out my salvation. Dude, I'm suffering in the flesh. I'm suffering in the spirit. I'm suffering in the emotion. I'm dying to the world. Ah, I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. Oh, I'm such a wretch. It'd be better for me to be with Christ, but for your sake, I'm going to remain with you. I hate this wretched flesh suit. God, I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. I'm a sojourner. I don't belong in this place. The world's not worthy of me. I'm longing for a home, not yet my own. I'm in eager anticipation of return to my king. I'm waiting, watching, looking. And in this persevering and dying to the things of the world and living for the things of God, I'm working out my salvation. To where when we're persevering in all these testings of our faith, even dying to these things of the world, as we're working out our salvation, our blinders go. See, here's what the church said. Throw your blinders off and look everywhere. But the reality is as we walk and seek after and hunger and thirst for Christ-likeness, our blinders get narrow and more and more narrow and more and more narrow and more and more narrow. And then it gets laser pinpoint all the way through the cosmos, through all the multidimensional reality to Christ Jesus seated on his throne, ladies and gents. He's so seated, you get so locked on him that you are worked out your salvation, that you actually, you know what the end state is? You don't love your life so much as you're afraid to lose it. You know what the end state is? You have no fear because you, oh my goodness, God loves me. And if he loves me, what in the world can come against me? Nothing can separate me from the love of God, nor angel, nor demon, nor light, nor darkness, nor heaven, no, nothing in all creation. Wait, if God loves me, that means that I will never be ashamed. My face will always be radiant. Wait a minute. If God loves me, I have no fear of these menial relationships. I have no fear of the bank accounts and of the retirements and of the pensions and of 401ks, which dominates 95% of your every waking thought, or your stinking finances. And then the really toxic relationships around you occupy the other 4%. So that leaves the working out of your salvation with 1%. See, when we get this, when we've worked out our salvation, you actually, church, become radiant like Christ died for you to be. And you are steadfast and you're immovable and you're indomitable and you have no fear and you are among those who do overcome and you're strong through the Lord and you go out and you perform daring feats of valor and you die a martyr's death, worshiping and praising the Lord that you were counted worthy to die for Christ's sake. And you don't consider suffering as anything worth considering compared to the inexpressible glory of knowing Christ and being unified with him. You see, like, am I making sense? Anybody nodding? I only got a couple. Yeah. All right. Like, see how this works? So we go, dude, oh, understanding the times, man. All the while you're filled with your, what was the words I said? I don't even remember. What are you? You're studying the times. You're apprehensive. You're distressed. You're fearful. You're nervous. You're restless. You're disquieted in your spirit. You're in suspense.
Yeah.
What is that benefiting you? How about rather than working that out, let's work on our salvation so that we are encouraged, so that we are enlightened unto the Lord, so that we are bold, so that we are steadfast, so that we are fearless. There is a removal of all fear. So that our hearts are steadfast, trusting the Lord. Our hearts are secure. We have no fear. Why? Because I fear my God alone, right? I've worked out my salvation with fear and trembling before a holy God. I'm good to go. I'm going that way. Get out of my way. And actually, all the other toxic dissipations of this life, they melt away like wax before the furnace of the Lord. And you can actually carry forth your mission set with honor and courage and commitment. So we keep flipping the cart, ladies and gents, and I'm sick of it. Sorry, I'm getting all animated. Like, I'm so tired of watching the church tread water when Christ Jesus called you to walk on it beside him because your eyes are so fixed on him. Like, it's insane, right? And listen, I'm preaching to myself as I preach this, right? I'm preaching to myself. Same thing. It's like, get away from me, flesh. Get away from me, world. You disgust me. It's repulsive. I want nothing. Get away from me, thought of resources and how am I getting about, like, away from me. I want you, Jesus. I want my salvation is secure. You love me, Lord. I rebuke that fear. I have no fear. It is all reserved for you. I'm going to jealously guard my fear and place it all on you. You're the only one worthy of it, God. Where was I? I don't know. This happens every time. How about this? I'll pick up somewhere random. This totally happens. If anybody's been in my church, this is what happens all the time. Okay. The word to work out is katergezeth, which it signifies working thoroughly at a thing and taking true pains. How many of you have taken true pains? Be honest. Let the Lord search your heart. How many of you have taken true pains to care for your soul unto salvation and to work it out? How many of us have done this and persevered to the end? Listen, 1 Peter 1:3-9 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy." What kind of mercy? Great. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. How often is it going to perish? Oh, wait, the never. That's right. Never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance, this salvation, ladies and gents, that you're called to work out, this salvation, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Whose power? Whose power? Your own? Your will? Your do-gooderism? Your acts? Your consternation? Your self-deprecating speech because you failed again in your carnality? No, you're going to be guarded, shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that you are working out that is ready to be revealed in these last times. It's ready. It's like, he's like, just get focused. I'm going to be like, boom, right in your face. Like, here it is. It's me. I'm your salvation. I'm here. I will be Emmanuel from everlasting to everlasting. You will be my people. I will be your God. And never again will you have to depart from my presence. Right? And he says, who through faith, or wherever I was, and all this, you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come. They're come, like the Lord's bringing the trials, lady. Sometimes your flesh brings it, but don't discount. The Lord's doing something in you, right? These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in something. It's going to result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. What? He's going to give you praise, glory, and honor? Dude, I know what you are because I know what I am. This is insane, right? Who's this God? Let's work out this salvation, right? Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. What kind of joy? Can any of you say that you today are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy because you've worked out your salvation today with fear and trembling? Are you filled inexpressible and glorious joy? Dude, let's get focused for real. All right? Where was I? For you are, that's only ever present tense. You are presently through the testing of your faith and through perseverance and through steadfast faith and through working out your salvation in real time. You are receiving the end result of your faith. What is it? The salvation of your souls. You are. You're working it out. The testing of your faith, these light momentary trials, all that, like, you are. And you actually ought to be filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Are we getting this? Stop wasting your time with the dissipations and anxieties of these life. Even those things which you are convinced are good and profitable and fruitful. Let's test them.
Are you filled with inexpressible and glorious joy because what you're working out in your life? Yes or no? That's your litmus test. Wherever there's selfish ambition or envy, there you'll have disorder in every evil practice. So if you are filled with disorder, if you're filled, if dissipations are robbing from you on one side, the anxieties of life are robbing from you on another side, that presupposes that you are in disorder, and your life and your spirit and your emotions and your church body and your marriages and your adult unbelieving kids that you keep pursuing even though they've rejected the faith, oh my goodness, get off of it. There's disorder in your reality. Why? Because there's selfish ambition or envy somewhere in there. I can tell you that's a litmus test. But here's the other litmus test. Are you filled with inexpressible and glorious joy? Though the testing of your faith is coming, it's going to prove, it's proving the genuineness of your faith. They're light. They're going to come at you for, but it's doing something in you. You are actually receiving the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Praise be to God, right? So listen, 1 Peter 2:13, therefore, with minds that are alert, that's hypervigilant, ladies and gents, and sober, that's not intoxicated, that is not a counterfeit euphoria that you're getting from the world or even from information that you're consuming or from fleeting menial relationships that are God-haters. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. See how it's, I'm working out my salvation. Dude, I'm not going to set my hope on that. I want to set my hope on that. I want to work out my salvation. Lord, I fear you. Lord, I tremble in your presence. This is the man who you esteem, him who is humble and contrite and trembles at my work. Lord, I want you. God, I want to drink from your streams. Lord, I want to eat from you. I want you to be my portion, Lord. I want to work this thing out so that I have no regard for this life or the things of this life. But I'm so kingdom-minded that as I seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, all these other things that are a desire in my heart will fall in behind it, which may be healed relationships, which may be restoration, redemption, which may be evangelizing those around you and setting enemy captives free, which might be tearing down strongholds and maybe ministering to the least of these. But listen, you have to work out your salvation first so that you are an asset to the lost and dying world around you and not a liability, because you yourself are overcome by the dissipations and anxieties of this life. Stop giving greater care to information than to your soul. Stop giving greater diligence to your jobs and your financial security than to your soul. Stop spending all your emotional currency on fleeting familial relationships than the care of your own soul. Work at that, ladies and gents. Stop working for what will never and can never satisfy. Rather, work out your salvation and do it with great fear and trembling. For as Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, that sounds like salvation, right? Since the promise of entering salvation, since the promise of salvation, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it because the dissipations and anxieties. Work for he works, ladies and gents. For he, God, let's finish the verse. For he, God, he himself works in cooperation, cooperator. He in cooperation with you. He works to will according to his purposes and good pleasure. He is working alongside of you. He is working with all diligence and vigilance that we ought to. We are to work not as triflers and not as slothful, lest we provoke the Lord to withdraw his aid from us, but we're to work with the Lord and work out this radical salvation and makes much of the King and much of the kingdom when we do so. He works in us and through us, giving us all the ability by his grace, strengthening by his grace, engaging us and activating by his grace, and all of it is to his good pleasure. What kind of pleasure? Good. It's his good pleasure to do this thing. So we have to heed the call in Isaiah 55 when the Lord cries aloud. Like we gotta get off of it, man. We got to get dead serious about seeking the face of Christ and about growing in the knowing of our God and about being among those who overcome. And there's no way to overcome by the dissipations and anxieties of life and working at everything other than the fixation on the coming hope of the resurrection and the glory secured in Christ Jesus. Heed the call in Isaiah 55 when he cries aloud, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. This is he's calling out, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And your soul, this is soul care, ladies and gents, your soul will delight in the riches of air. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live. Your soul, fix on caring for your soul by working out your salvation, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my steadfast love promised to David. The qualifications of those who are welcomed by the king to sup with him and to rest their weary souls, though it's extended to all by grace, the call is that all would come that are thirsty, that are hungry. They draw from the streams of living water. They eat from the bread of life. They reproach all other food. All the food that the world has to offer, like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, we do not want your food. We want the food of the Lord to be our sustenance. And in this they delight. And in this they find life. And in this alone they are made strong and they are made mighty in battle. Those that are satisfied with the world and its enjoyments and its pursuits, those who works their works and their efforts and their merits based on worldly, even seemingly good things of this world, those whose righteousness is a wage earned by the strength of their will and the effort of their own flesh, these people do not thirst. They have no thirst. They have no sense of their need, and they are in no pain or uneasiness of their souls, and therefore they will not be beholden to Christ. But those that thirst are invited to the streams of living water. Christ is the fountain open. Christ is the rock struck and smitten, pouring forth living waters in the dry places. Christ is the river of life flowing out from the throne of God forever and ever and ever that you are called to draw from. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. See, like, listen, you got skin in the game, ladies and gentlemen. Are we getting the cut? Like, dude, we got skin in the game. Like, we get to choose the building materials on which we build on this foundation of this radical salvation. You get to choose. Christ is the foundation on which every man builds. Some build with sticks, hay, and straw. Others with gold, silver, and precious stones. But at the coming of the Son of Man, and it's closer now than when we first started this sermon. It is closer now than when we first started this sermon. At the coming of the Son of Man, each man's building material will be tested with fire to see what's left standing. We get to choose. You draw near to God. Then he draws near to you. We press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of you. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force, right? Like, listen, the Lord is putting forth this command. Work out this salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works and wills according to his good purpose. And then you do it without complaining and without grumbling as in a crooked and perverse generation, because then, ladies and gents, then you will satisfy the mission set for which you have been foreknown, to be a reflection of the glory of Christ Jesus with unveiled faces, reflecting his glory to the crooked and perverse and dark world around you. You will be wise in your generation. You will shine like bright shining stars as you hold out the word of truth. Then, ladies and gents, we have to give careful thought to our ways. We have to give careful thought to our ways, as it says in Haggai 1. I've been living in Haggai 1 for a long time. We have to give careful thought to our ways because many or most of us have worked out all the menial, temporal aspects of our lives, but we have given little care to our very own salvation. We have to give careful way to our thoughts, and we got to stop it. We just got to stop. It's because of this in the church, that humanity sits on the precipice of devastation and that the church is sitting at the rail yards of persecution. The Lord says in Haggai 1, I'm going to paraphrase it because I know I'm getting long-winded here, but he talks about how the reason why the heavens have, the reason for the mega drought the reason for the confusion and consternation, the reason for the fruitless labors of our lives. He says the reason is because each one of you is building your own house while my house remains in ruins. And God gives the command in Haggai 1 and 2, you better give careful thought to your ways, ladies and gents. You've not been working out your salvation. You've not been caring for your soul. You've not been thinking about your eternal placement. You have been overcome by the dissipations and the anxieties of this life. You are busy building your own lives, and you work diligently and tirelessly at all these temporal things while my house remains in ruins. He's like, you better get to work on my house. Go up into the mountains, cut timbers, come begin building my house. The latter glory will be greater than the former glory. I will be with you. Work diligently, for I am with you. Have no fear. And we need to heed the Lord's call to do that in this generation. 2 Chronicles 69 says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole of the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Whose hearts are what? Whose hearts like everything eschatology and listen to lots of podcasts and YouTubes, those whose hearts go to church and they serve all the time, those who are relatively moral compared to the next guy, those who are wise according to their own minds, those who have been very prudent and shrewd and steadfast in all their business endeavors. It doesn't say that. It says the eyes of the Lord raise you out the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. They're working out this radical salvation with fear and trembling. But then the Lord goes on to say this, because I can't remember which king he was speaking to at the time, but he says, you have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. You weren't fully committed to me. You gave 99% of your work and of your effort and of your thoughts and of your emotion and currency to all of that over there, and you gave little consideration to me in my house and even your own soul. It's time for the forsaking of all else, even that which our deceitful hearts has convinced us is good and industrious and of great value. It's time to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Guess why, ladies and gents? For the night is coming where no man can work. So you better work now while it is yet day, but work for the only thing that is eternal, your soul and the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Right? For Jesus, again, is nearer now than when we first believed. He's nearer now than when we first started this sermon. And what is the outcome of all this? What is the outcome of not grumbling and complaining about the dissipations, about the anxieties, about the sufferings, about the pressures, about the relational hot messes, about all the junk of this life? What is the outcome of all of it? You become blameless and pure. That's a very good return on investment, ladies and gents. You become blameless and pure, children of God. Oh, if I'm a child of God, then that must mean I'm an heir. And if I'm an heir, that means I'm a co-heir of Christ. And if I'm a co-heir in Christ, that means that I'm a recipient of all that he lavished on his son, Jesus. Yes, this is the outcome. This is the outcome of working out your salvation with in the forsaking of all else that this life has to offer. And now I know, dude, I'm thinking of it, because I can discern, like, as I'm saying this, there's all kinds of intellectual agreement going on, but there's very little cutting to the heart. Even as I'm saying this, there's very little of my brothers and sisters that are being undone by the word of the Lord and by the reality of this truth. Very few. We intellectually agree with these things, but have you counted the cost of going all in for Christ Jesus and literally forsaking all else, actually dying to the flesh and to the things of the world, and not loving the world or the things of the world, even the things that you have been convinced are good and profitable? Then you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able, your brothers and sisters will be able, Christ Jesus will be able to boast on that day that we did not labor or run in vain. You will increase in wisdom and so turn many back to righteousness, Daniel 12. You will be strengthened unto cooperation with the Lord of the heaven's armies, unto great daring feats of valor. Daniel 11:32, you've been foreknown for this. You will have no fear, having been made perfect by God's love, casting out all fear. The word of your testimony will shake the ground around you, and it will terrify the enemies of God in your midst. And you will not fear your life, and all the little details of it, because you have worked out the depth and the breadth and the majesty and the grace and the power and a radical victory of your salvation. That which has already been made known to you in full. In full it's been made known to you. Nothing has been withheld for you. So listen, ladies and gents, you have to have an understanding of the times and know what the church must do. You have to know what the church must do. And it's forsake the world and all the things of the world. And be found dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. Be found abiding and communing and dwelling in Christ alone and working out these things. It is time to shift our focus, ladies and gents, and shift your work of effort, forsaking all else, and rather get focused on working on your salvation.
Okay, I hope that is an encouraging one if you are a believer. If you're not a believer, this is probably a lot of information. And it's good to, I'm just going to stand with my faith and share with my faith and share things that are encouraging also to me, because life is very temporal. And I think we're going to see a lot of hardship. And if I'm see it in my family, I know you're going to see it in yours. I think since 2020 and 2021, it's been a rough time. So I'm just going to call this one encouragement. I hope this episode was encouraging to you, and I hope that your soul is encouraged, and I hope you work on feeding your soul and pursuing your thoughts above, and that God works through you and brings light and joy and love your way. I hope you enjoy this one. God bless.